Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. We are here live on a Thursday night to talk about the Big Brother Canada 10 eviction episode. With me, I am your host, Aaron Armstrong. With me tonight, of course, we've got Scally. How you doing, Scally?
Hello, hello. I am good. I am excited to talk about the events of this week, the events of this episode. Just an idiot with a plan here trying to get through.
Yes. Also with us is Chantel. How you doing, Chantel?
I am definitely probably happy to be here with you two to talk about this episode.
All right. Yes, we're here to talk about tonight's eviction episode. It was what was it Big Brother announcer?
It's a game of phones.
It's a game of phones.
Such a topical reference. Everyone, I mean, cares about that in 2022.
We really should have predicted, like, from my point of view at least, the excitement level of this episode when it started with "it's a game of phones," which meant that it was going to have a really lackluster ending to Kyle's stay in the Big Brother house.
Absolutely. I'm actually really surprised, though, because I was like super excited about this episode. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to get the head of household. We're going to see how things are going to shift. And then it was just like the air out of the balloon deflated. And I was like, okay, that's what happened.
I don't know. I feel like we've like known this was coming. It's fine. True. It's an exciting result. And I feel like it's just because Gino is so low key and last week was so eventful, this week, which like is an absolutely wild result that you would never have predicted at the beginning, seems so tame in comparison.
It does. And I think it hurts the episode when like we don't have the HOH competition at the end of the episode. We don't have an HOH result. And also like Arissa's teasing us with like, all right, Big Brother legends, can't wait to see them at the end of the episode. And then we get there and it's like, hold on,
where's Moose?
If Big Brother legend Moose is behind one of those doors, I will be pretty surprised. I will say that. Crossed.
But and also what's like unfortunate is the fact that we have to wait all the way till Monday to get like this actual episode where we can see who these, you know, past house guests are. And so it's just kind of like that long wait that we had last season, I think it was, where it's like we didn't have feeds for the whole weekend and we're just sort of like, this is just took the whole excitement out of the episode. So, yeah, I think it has a similar effect this tonight as well.
Yeah, and like of all the eviction episodes to not have the HOH competition in them, where this is the episode where we're really going to give extra time to the campaigning and all of that. I don't know if you don't follow the live feeds, if you couldn't tell, like this was a done deal. The second Kyle touched the block, there was never a hint of anything else that was going to happen. It was our first unanimous vote of the season. If there was ever an episode to focus on the campaign of somebody on the block, this was not the one.
Well, it just wasn't even like a question of, is Kyle going to have one vote? Like, it's been Kyle's going unanimously for the entire week. He was like putting in his best like effort, but just made absolutely no ground. And so it's hard to then devote so much time to his campaigning when like it's going to be unanimous regardless.
Well, and it's also just not that much fun watching someone that's like, yeah, you got me, yeah, good move. And it's just like, okay, you're not really even fighting to be here. You kind of already decided that you've lost. You'll try and make some effort a little bit, but like he had it in his head as soon as he was being told that he was going to be put up there that like he wasn't really planning on staying. He didn't think that he was going to be able to do it.
Yeah, I just, you know, and I don't want to be too hard on the episode because I do think that the editors have been doing a much better job over the last few episodes of editing these shows together. And I do appreciate that. Again, it's not like we're getting any kind of false narrative here, apart from like, you know, that conversation went well, who knows if I'll stay, which is pretty typical. It's pretty typical. But so I appreciate that, but I do think that, you know, and I've said this before, I do feel like sometimes the episodes feel a bit shackled to the structure, the format of, this episode is the nomination episode. This episode is the campaigning episode. Like, and so the storyline has to be focused around that. But there were lots of things that they could have talked about. There were plenty of things that they could have shown in the episode surrounding the other players in the house and where they're restructuring and where they're going and who they're loyal to. And, you know, Josh accumulating allies, Summer gaining influence, Hermann trying to recover, Kevin being Kevin. Like, there's a lot of other stuff that's really interesting that would have been fun to see in this episode. And I feel like we kind of wasted some time on Kyle. And I get it. Like, Kyle, you know, Kyle up in the HOH room alone talking about how this has been a dream since last year, that I could be here. And, you know, I'm not out of this yet. You know, the fight comes in and I'm just like this guy's great casting. I mean, talk about a great player, to have on your cast. Somebody that was genuinely very good socially. I mean, he was doing very, very well. But such a gigantic strategic mess, that he was able to accumulate power and social capital and then had no idea where to aim it because strategically a mess. And so he made a huge mess. And on his way down, no, he didn't really fight too much. They never do, but he was still kind of like, living this sense of, grandeur of like, this is the end of my story for now, but fear not, loyal viewers, your boy is coming back someday.
I'm definitely excited to see like his reaction to, you know, if you watch any of the updates or seeing what people's perspective of his game is, because I would like just to see him maybe like understand a little bit more like why this happened, because it doesn't seem like he fully gets it. And I would just like to see him have some understanding around it, but not, I don't want him to be hurt or anything like that, but I do want him to have a little bit of clarity. I'm scared that he might get a little bit hurt.
Yeah, I think Kyle needs to take some time away from social media. Like, it was a good reaction last season, but you weren't on the show. And so, like, people warned him, like, don't go on. He went on, and things went about just as badly as they could have, basically. So, not great for Kyle there. It could have been.
How could it have been worse?
You know, I mean, I think for the majority of what's coming to him is, like, you dumb. And I think that's like, that's not bad in comparison to some of the stuff that comes to other people.
Sure. Yeah. We'll see. I think he's going to get, you know, a little of everything, but it's going to be interesting to see if he like leans into it or accepts it or, takes a little break.
Yeah. We will see. As always, like, hopefully it's, you know, he'll be all right. But I really feel like the right move for Kyle here is, oh boy, what a mess I was. Oh, I'm a disaster. Here I go. I go into the game thinking I'm going to be so good, and I'm watching it back, and I'm such a doofus. I can't believe I thought Moose was turning on me. I'm so sorry. I have so much apology. Like the Ryan Ballantyne, right? Like, that's exactly what Ryan did. Like, to this day, Ryan, like, if you mention putting up your ally on Twitter, Ryan will be in your replies being like, that was me, I'm a dummy. And I feel like that's the right call for the most part.
Yeah. Do you think that Kyle will have merchandise that comes out that's kind of poking fun at his head of household reign?
It's like, I'm with stupid pointing up.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
I think you have to embrace it. And I do feel like at some point, like, if you're accepting it, like, most of the people will eventually be like, all right, He's had enough. It's when you're trying to justify it and like, you know, do what Kyle is doing in the house when he's talking to Helena, like, have I gone through point by point exactly what was happening step by step with you yet? Like I have with everyone else. Like if he tries to pull that, that's when everyone's going to feel like, oh no, it's my duty now to explain to him how wrong he is. And that's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, which I think we got there. Like he was talking about like, oh, I thought I knew everything that was going on and I've realized like how wrong I was. When I think that he did kind of have a good read on the house for a little bit and then just spun himself in a million circles and built a dynamic that didn't work for him anymore. So could have been fine and ultimately thinks that he was bamboozled the whole time when he bamboozled himself.
Well, he did some bamboozling or some attempted bamboozling on his way out the door. He's going to play two truths and a lie. My name is Kyle Moore. I've climbed Mount Everest. And on day one, I got a secret power that I'm not allowed to talk about or I'd be instantly evicted. And now that I couldn't use it until jury. And now that I'm being voted out, it's back in play. And here's the hint I'll give you. 12.
I like this. Like, you know, you might as well go out with a bang in this sense. You know, he had a chaotic week. He you know, got his comeuppance for it. And, you know, we want people to go out with a little bit of sass, a little bit of flavor. And so he left something at the house. He'll be able to watch since he's not in jury to see if it has any effect on the house guests. And that will be a way that he might get a little bit of satisfaction with his stay in the Big Brother house. So I'm fine with it. I think it's kind of fun.
I feel like it's believable because people knew that he was like, oh, the Kyle Moore from Twitter. Like if there was a fan vote, he's very likely to get it. And so many people will say like, oh, well, why didn't they expose at person X, Y, and Z on their way out the door? And I mean, he did it in a different way. So I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. I mean, so this is something he had talked about on the feeds that he was planning on doing. I believe he gave Gino the heads up that like he was going to be faking this. So Gino has the information to shut it down if he so chooses. But you know, I'm up for throwing anything. And it's like whether or not you like Kyle or find him entertaining or whatever, like I'm always in. Like when somebody wants to do something, even if I'm watching, I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing. I'm still feeling something watching him do this. It's so much better than somebody just walking out the door, right? So I'm down for it. I do really like it's the embarrassing aspect. Like you really needed to throw in the humble brag of like I climbed Mount Everest. Really, we needed to get that in. It couldn't have been any other facts.
He thought he was going to be in the house for longer, so he had to make sure that got out there.
Trying to make it like, all right, here's something that like you wouldn't believe, but when you find out.
Oh, man. Well, so there's I mean, what a fitting way. It did have like Big Peter energy to me. From BB Can 1 when he had his whole sort of like performance art on the way out of the game, which again is just like again like I'm down or even like, you know, Austin, like victims aren't we all, like I'm down for it. If you want to do something that that, you know, could really embarrass you, like I'm in, do it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. It's going to give us something to talk about, whether like it works and it's successful or like we might joke at your expense, but like it's fine, just go for it. It's your last moment.
You have brought fun. Us good TV and I applaud you for it. I'm exactly. In speaking of weird maybe good TV, we do have the
game of phones,
right? We're gonna have this phone segment. Now, we saw this on the feeds. It was a long day of tasks being given out, people doing things. Betty couldn't talk. Helena had to make a bucket of slop. Summer got handcuffed to Gino. Lots of things going on. This is condensed. I was kind of dreading this segment on the show. So I want to preface it, but I was dreading this segment on the show. I felt like it was going to take a long time and a lot of the stuff I had seen already. And it's not really what I'm watching Big Brother for most of it. What we got instead was super bizarre to me. And in a weird way, I enjoyed it a lot more because from an episode only standpoint, what we saw on this episode was a phone rings. Josh picks it up and it's somebody saying, oh, I found the Big Brother number. There's going to be so many more calls today. It's like, okay, they're setting up that they're going to be receiving a lot of calls. Next call, Marty picks it up and it's like, oh, please wait, please hold. And he's on hold for like 20 minutes before he gives up. And it's like, okay, they're just getting like dumb calls. Third call, Kevin picks up. Do you like spaghetti? Oh, no. What is he knowing? That's a very simple question. Cut to Kevin bathing in spaghetti.
Yeah.
Do you think that they were changing, like, depending on who answered the phone, is like they kind of set up what the prank was going to be? Because, like, I think that Kevin was the perfect person to be in all those yoga positions with the spaghetti and just being a little bit wacky with it.
Gino answered the call and they said, can you put Kevin on the phone?
Oh, yes.
So they very specifically wanted Kevin for this. But the way that it is portrayed in the episode, it's not clear to me at all as a person who is only watching the episode that these are meant to be tasks as opposed to just random phone calls. So when you go straight from do you like spaghetti to Kevin doing performance art with spaghetti in a pool in his underwear, I am like, whoa, we just missed 5 steps here. What is happening? Is this what he interpreted? Did Kevin just decide that I like spaghetti means he needs to be bathing in a swimming pool of spaghetti?
It was so weird to me. Like, we did cut other punishments, but it feels weird, like you said, where they specifically are like, let's put Kevin on the phone. It's like, we're gonna really embarrass Kevin and we're gonna like put Marty in a nude suit that gets cut. And but then other people, it's like, is your refrigerator running? Okay, that's your whole thing for the day. So like a little bit of a not equitable embarrassment going through the cast. But you know, Kevin seemed to like have it all in good fun. He was definitely doing like many poses. So I'm sure there are many good gifs that came out of that.
Yeah. And then they're like, after that, that's it. No more. You've all completed your tasks. All? You've all completed your tasks? These were tasks? It feels to me like Kevin just went above and beyond from I like spaghetti to bathing in it, and everyone has completed their tasks?
Yeah, I definitely would have liked to see a little, it doesn't have to see the whole thing, but just like a little snapshot of what everybody else had to do. It definitely was disjointed with like, just like you're mentioning, that we didn't get to see all the steps of getting, you know, Kevin in the bathtub. Like, he had to make the spaghetti.
Yeah, and he made it. I mean, that's the conventional way of doing this. And that's the thing, right? The conventional way of showing this is Kevin answers the phone. Do you like spaghetti? Uh-oh. Well, go make a big batch of spaghetti. And he goes and he makes the spaghetti and everyone's excited and because they're all on slop. And it's like, oh, are we going to get to eat this spaghetti? Oh, I hope so. Another phone call. Kevin, bathe in the spaghetti. Oh, no. And then he gets in the pool and he does all the stuff. And then it's like, oh, wow, what a prank by Big Brother. But they skipped all of those middle steps and made it so bizarre. But this is the thing. I liked it way more this way. Way more. I don't need your conventional pranks. I want the absolute bizarre nature of I like spaghetti, bathe in it. Which weirdly matches the energy that was in the house as well. The feeds were down for this, but we got the aftermath of Kevin bathing in the spaghetti and most people didn't really find it funny. And watching it, I think I understand. Like, they were showing a lot of different clips of him in that spaghetti. I can only imagine how long it took. It looked like at least minutes. And it's difficult to be laughing for minutes at something that you don't even really find that funny. So what I imagine is happening here, because they even said the only person to laugh was Jess, and we saw Jess laughing, which means that Kevin was bathing in spaghetti, rubbing it under his armpits, through his toes for minutes, at least maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. And people were just sitting there silently watching, listening to the squishy, squelchy spaghetti in sauce as it went through all of Kevin's orifices.
It sounds like
that word.
It sounds like a college art project that's just going so badly where everyone's like watching the performance art. No, we're not into this. Like, you are failing.
I think I would have to laugh though if nobody was laughing. Like, I think the fact that if we were watching this and nobody is laughing, I think I would start laughing. Cause like,
but how do you do, like, you can start, you can be like, but it's going on for so long and nobody else is laughing. And so afterward, Moose, Kevin's asking Moose, he's like, how was that? And Moose is like, I'm not gonna lie, it was kind of dark.
Yeah, I think I'd be in that. I would just like feel bad for Kevin. And I think that's how most of them felt at that point.
Yeah.
So it's a rough spot.
I mean, it really does bring a whole new level to the sound clip of...
I'm actually just going to slither through.
Ooh, yes.
I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy.
Yeah.
You know what? If that's the punishment, I don't want to be a bad boy anymore. I will listen.
What's funny, too, with them not really reacting is that it seems like this particular cast has been overzealous with their reactions of everything. It's just so, like, on a 10. And so the fact that they're not reacting at all, I'm wondering if Big Brother might have said, please don't react to this, and thinking that was also funny.
I just need them. I need them to release the raw footage of Kevin bathing in spaghetti while they silently watch on.
I need it. I don't know why they had to cut it from us. Well, so that was fun. I liked that part of the episode.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
We also got an opening of a new room. How fun, how exciting. There's sand. It's great.
But they showed the room in yesterday's episode, and I was like, oh, they're just not going to like talk about this new room. And I was just like, oh, okay.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, no, they did. And I was like, because I was like, oh, I haven't really seen this room on the show. And I thought that they would make a bigger ordeal about it. But I guess they didn't realize that they used a piece of footage yesterday. And then they did the room reveal today.
I'm just surprised they went back to sand. I feel like every time there's sand, it gets such a bad reaction of like, ugh, that's horrible. Don't do that.
Don't be like sand.
We love Bump It. We hate sand. Bring that back.
I don't even like sand at the beach. That's the worst. Mm-mm.
What if they did a ball pit of like, what do they call them? Like bouncy balls.
I'd take it. You know, it's fine.
Like this is better like bouncy sand. Balls.
Anything is
that would be really fun. Cause then you could bounce them all over the house. No, like the little tiny, like, I don't know. What's the name for those things? Is it just bouncy balls?
I mean, yeah.
Are they like rubber?
There's a better name for them. Yeah. Like little rubber. And you know, you take
bouncy
a,
balls?
Bounce it. It's bouncy. I feel like that'd be fun.
There you go.
Like little ones?
A rough landing. It would be landing.
It would probably, it would probably hurt and, you know, like sand, maybe get everywhere, but it's kind of the fun of it. We also had, we've got some slop. The house is punished. They've really stopped even trying to pretend that like they've actually done anything wrong. It's just like, so Big Brother put us on slop because we broke all the rules and it sucks. Herman's in the diary room like, it doesn't even move.
Why did they have to make it in a bucket like that? Like the amount of slop that was in that particular bucket could have been in a bowl or at least it would look at slightly more appetizing. But seeing anything in a bucket with like, it's not even a spoon. It's like a wood, like a piece of wood that he's using to stir it. They really don't want to make it appetizing at all.
I wouldn't want to eat anything from a bucket like that.
No, it's gross.
No. I thought it was funny because where you were saying like the Kevin task just surprised us. I feel like it was all of a sudden, it's like, and you're all off slop. And I was like, if you paid attention for like 2 seconds, you didn't pay attention for 2 seconds. Why were they on slop? When were they on slop? I didn't know what happened. So like, the usual viewer is just gonna be like, oh, I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah, there's a very good chance that somebody just like watching the episode while doing something else, looked over, saw Kevin bathing in spaghetti, went, huh? And then they looked back over and slop never even entered the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Super Balls is what I thought, but that seems wrong to me. I felt like Super was in the name. Super Ball seems like it's not complete.
Ball?
Super bouncy ball. I don't know. It's super. It's bouncy.
Rubber,
it's
a ball.
It's also rubber. Let's just keep adding words. So apart from all of that, we did get, strategically, again, it was mostly focused on Kyle. That Kyle went up on the block. Happy day for everyone. Everyone's celebrating. Moose says,
putting me on the block was the worst decision you could have made for your game, Kyle. Look at what's happening now.
No. Yeah. He does not lie.
I think actually doubling down and putting Josh was the worst move, but Moose did not help anything.
I think Moose was the worst, because like Moose was the one that like really like he put up two of his allies. He was initially just putting up one of his allies, but when he decided to put up Moose, it was like, no, one is not enough. I need two of my allies on the block. That was really what set it in place. And then Josh was like, okay, fine, I'll put up somebody that's not an ally. And they're not going home. Of course not. everyone's happy about that. And that's like, we're going to see Kyle campaign a little bit to Helena. Helena's like, I don't like you.
Yeah.
Can we not do this?
Helena was like a good example of how it kind of went this week, where it was like, you just disrespected me. Like, you talked down to me. I don't know why you think that anything would come of this. And he's like, oh, and she's like, I'm not done talking. Like, I have the power here now this week. And so we could have seen one or two of these conversations, and I think we would have like gotten the gist of it. But Helena's a good one if you're gonna only pick one or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was watching that, I was like, I've never really seen her have that kind of vitriol that she was sending toward them. Like, she was not happy with them at all. She definitely didn't look like she wanted to be there. And when she put her hand up to that was like very surprising for me, because she usually comes off quite kind and nice all the time. And so I was really surprised to see her kind of take this position with Kyle. It's very startling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it felt like an episode of Awkward Conversations, as they have a very, and she's like, Kyle Moore, that's all I got. And he was like, okay, thank you, Helena.
What's your last name? Gil. It's Gil.
Was it Kill? No.
Oh boy.
So that was awkward. We also had an awkward conversation between Jess and Kevin. It felt like they were really trying to cram in as many awkward conversations that Jess was having to make it seem like maybe Jess would go home. Kevin, can I really trust? What did she say? Or what did they say? They put all of their marbles into his basket.
Yes. And I've never heard that before.
Not generally how I store my marbles.
All right, hold on. Ball pit of marbles.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, hurt more, but we're getting in the right direction.
I feel like there are so many possibilities for ball pits. It's great. And so they're are we working together, Kevin? I've put all my marbles into your basket. And he's like, yeah, we're good. It's fine.
This is the kind of stuff that, even though it's only because Jess is on the block, but I feel like this is a conversation that like has some impact on what will be happening next week, where we were seeing like, could he use the time more effectively? Jess is finally starting to recognize like, Kevin is not putting in the same effort that I am into this relationship. And so happy that they've started to recognize that, because Kevin was straight up throwing Jess under the bus all week. So glad that, things could be mended, but, interesting to keep an eye on moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely felt bad for Jess in that moment because they just really want to feel like they have an ally. And Kevin didn't feel like staying in that conversation. He did in the end, begrudgingly. But I did feel bad because Jess doesn't really have anyone on their side.
Yeah. We also get a weird conversation between Jess and Betty, where Betty's like, are you campaigning at all? And Jess is like, not really. And why should I be, like, what should I be feeling? Betty's like, worried. Okay.
I love this. This gave me like Mean Girls vibes where it's like, oh, you're safe. Oh, thank you. Oh, you agree? You think you're really safe? No, I'm sorry. So
should I be more nervous?
Presumptuous, don't you think?
Interesting that you think you're safe after I told you you don't were. Like, so I think Jess had like as good of a response as they could have with like, I'm gonna let Kyle sink his own ship. I think that's a more effective method for me. But Betty's so funny. I was very glad to have this conversation.
Yeah. We also got Kyle talking to Gino, and he's going to get a classic Kyle prank. So I've had time to think about this. And you know what, Gino? You, Gino.
Oh! Did not expect the bleep there. But
gotcha!
You know.
So funny, right?
Yeah, see, you're good. Like, Kyle.
Kyle has pulled this multiple times. And like, I even was like, oh, would this be a good opening line on a podcast? No, because even though you say you're kidding, you still made people feel uncomfortable. And he did this. So like when he was HOH, like, I'm putting you on the block and I know what you did to me. Like, and then this time, like, screw you to multiple people. And like, they're still going to have that like initial feeling of like discomfort that they're going to remember. And so it was funny. I laughed, but it was horrible. Horrible strategy.
I definitely thought about saying it in the opening, and then I was like, I don't know. It didn't land well in the house. I don't know if it's going to land well on the podcast. So I'm like, I'll choose something else.
I wish she had gone with, you know, Gino, I've been thinking, and
you friggin' hurt me. That was personal.
Oh. You know what? It's better than sucks to suck, so.
Gino, it sucks to suck.
Just the way he phrases that is, it sucks. Like, it's philosophical. Like, it's not direct. It's just like, Gino, think on this. It sucks to suck. Eh?
You can tell Marty just learned that one like pretty recently and thought that it landed really well.
He's a happy elf. We had I think that was like the majority of the campaigning sort of strategy stuff we got from the episode. We also had a conversation with Summer and Marty primarily. Talking about like racism, and we're hearing from Summer about the kinds of things that she has to like go through, unlearn, like hurdles she has to jump in order to get to sort of like what maybe you would like the baseline of just being able to love yourself, intergenerational trauma. And she's explaining this to Marty, who's giving like the, oh, faces. And then Marty's response is like, Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like, well, when I'm talking to my hockey players, I'm really trying to make them not say bad words.
And not even using this to say it, like racism, like he does take it into people being kind of saying words about groups of people, but he wasn't even using an example that was about like in alignment with what she was talking about, which I think would have been, for me, it would have landed better. So it seemed like he was kind of deflecting and he didn't really want to have that conversation because it was making him feel uncomfortable. And so I wanted him to kind of maybe see any moments in his life where he's like, didn't recognize that he was saying something about a black person or whatnot, as opposed to kind of deflecting it to another group of people that he felt more comfortable with explaining a circumstance about.
Yeah, I kind of felt like she was trying to explain that like the obvious things are some of the words that are thrown her way, the less obvious things are the you know, not that. And he kind of focused on the word part of it. He did kind of say, oh, it's that feels terrible that you would need to learn to love your skin before you have to learn to love or before you're able to love yourself. But this conversation was caught on the feeds because I don't know, I guess they need to make sure it is safe for television before it's aired on anything. But I appreciate, I think, like the attempt here, the effort here with including the conversation. I think Summer had a lot of good things to say. But yeah.
Yeah. I wish that it wasn't always cut on the feeds. I know they're going to, and it's not really much that we're going to make way in that, but I'm glad to see it make TV here. I think it's super important. I was glad to see it show up. I was encouraged at first. Like, I didn't have really high expectations when Marty's like, wait, have you experienced racism? Like, okay. Like, we're really dealing with a low bar here. I don't expect us to come in with like the strongest knowledge base. So it's not Summer's work to be doing, but like, sure. Summer was talking with Marty and willing to have the conversation, so I was glad that he seemed at least at first to like be open to it and then tried like relating it to his own life experiences. And like, it wasn't a perfect one-to-one. I think Marty realizes that he does not have this knowledge base that he is learning that he really should. And so hopefully he, anyone else that feels like they need to, and even if you don't feel like you need to, do work to improve the unconscious biases you may or may not know you have.
My least favorite part of the episode was coming back from commercial. Oh, well, this might not be the same thing because it's very not exciting, which is why it was my least favorite part. We come back from commercial and Arisa's like, all right, we're gonna go straight into the vote. And so we go straight into the vote and we get 4 votes, and Arisa's like, when we come back, more votes. I was like, why? You really can't get through 10 votes in one. Survivor did a whole challenge in one segment. You guys do a challenge in 2 segments. You have a commercial break in between the challenge. Okay, fine. You have diary rooms in the challenge, even though they're completely unnecessary most of the time. I get it. But the vote? Could you imagine if Survivor was like, all right, it's time to vote. And then like 3 of the 6 people vote, and then they go, and now it's time for a commercial. We'll be right back.
I'm trying to even think. I don't think, like, never cut during the middle of the reading of the votes. It's just not worth it, especially when it's like this obviously a landslide. Like, if they're structuring it so that if there are like 2 votes going the other way, they'd be voting first. So there's no suspense whatsoever when you cut to commercial and it's already 5-0, 4-0. Like, just get through it and then we can move on to have time to the HOH or something.
I'm wondering if it's for like the sponsors, like maybe it has to be at a certain time, or like they know that there's going to be a lot of people that are watching the vote. So maybe that's why they have to cut, because like maybe they're going to have the most viewers. Other than that, I don't know what the reason could be why, especially when we know that there's zero suspense happening here.
Mm. What did you think I was going to say, Chantel? That was my least favorite.
I thought you were going to talk about Gino and Chase.
That is very fair. I think I tried to erase that from my mind. We had a lot of Jace in this episode. Could you believe? So, okay, this is something I wanted to talk about, because there was a strategic part of the episode that I thought was bad, which was we get a conversation between Betty and Gino. And Betty is like, wow, Gino, you're a lot smarter than I thought you were, putting up Kyle like this. And he's like, sometimes I've got good ideas. Yeah, sometimes I can do. I put up 2 of my best friends, but I'm dumb. But sometimes I think I'm dumb with a plan, I think was what he said, something along those lines. And Betty's like, you got it all. You know, you really know what you're doing. And they played this straight, like like that was the end of the story. Like Betty didn't say like later that day, so we're getting Gino out next, right?
Yeah. It was rough.
So she's really just like playing him in that moment. You know,
she's genuinely grateful. Oh. Like, thank you so much. I love that you did this. And many of them were initially like, wow, that was such a smart move. But the thing is, like, of course you think it's smart. It benefits you. You think anything that benefits you is smart. Most people do. But then you start to think about it. Well, now, okay, now that I've moved past the initial decision, thinking about who to target, well, now that I'm not targeting Kyle, maybe I should target Gino.
Yeah, I think that like always was unfortunately going to be Gino's predicament. I'm not as absolutely low on the move as I think like at first glance. I think that this is not quite the Ryan Ballantyne for me, where like Gino at least has some other relationships, whereas like Ryan was targeting like the only ones he had. So it's not quite at the same level, but it is when presented as I nominated two of my best friends, like, oh, like better marketing, my guy. Like, please do not sell it like that, because that is no. Yeah. He's right. Like, it's iconic, but not for good reasons.
And it's not exactly like a great advertisement to pretend potential future allies, right? Like, like, oh, yeah, I would love to be your new number two. Can't wait to see what you do to me when the house wants me gone.
Yeah, not ideal. Definitely not ideal.
And so we see, we have a conversation with Jace and Gino where Jace is like, I'm making sure we're taking Kyle out, right? Like, we are not, like, there's no way we were going to keep Kyle in the game, right? Like, we definitely don't want that. And Gino's like, of course not. Of course not. Why would we do that?
I love this conversation because you knew the whole time that JC Lynn is coming in. Like, we are definitely taking him out, right? Because we are, right? Because if we're not, I'm totally down to do the opposite. Just tell me, I'll switch my vote immediately. But like, she's coming in so sure of it. And then like, once he says like, oh yeah, Kyle, we want him out, she's like, good. I'm sure the votes are there. I'm definitely sure. I'm definitely probably maybe sure that he's going to go home. Like, last week is being felt for JC Lynn. She has spun in so many different directions. Nothing is like correct for her anymore. Not that much was before.
She's terrified that the house is going to secretly flip and keep her ally in the game.
Tony, joke
me. Yeah, that's.
I think really though that she's like, her and Gino, I feel it. They're usually in the cool group. Like, they usually have a lot of friends, and I think that it really upset their normal environment with the fact that they were left out of a vote of an entire house. And so I think that she's just having a little bit of PTSD of like, oh my god, am I not having the better, like, the friendships that I thought that I'm having? And I think that that's why she's definitely probably know for sure that maybe they're going to be getting Kyle out this week. I think she's just really rattled.
And hey, who's the first person Kyle mentions when Arissa says, who's going to win this game? Jace. Yeah.
That's Jace, Jess, Josh, bunch of J's.
And Gina.
And Gina, oh, it's a G.
Jace, Jess, Josh, Gina.
A very clear, let me name my two allies, and then let me name my who I actually think has a shot. Like, I'm going to be nice on the way out, but also not look even dumber than I already do.
And he's even telling Gino, he's like, I respect the move. I get it. As your friend, it sucks, but strategically, you made the right call. And that's when, as Gino, you should probably be going,
I must not have. I don't want to get props from that guy.
Yeah, if Kyle Moore thinks this is the right move, maybe I should reverse course.
I thought the exit interview was pretty good. We got goodbye messages for the first time. That was nice. Herman was really laying into him, which was great. I thought Summers was perfect. Just the right amount of like snark and insult while also still being super endearing. Like, it sums Summer up so well. And if that's like an indication of the kind of goodbye messages that she'll be able to give, I think, come the jury, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about her jury potential here.
Yeah. You're not Betty's, where she says it was the easiest thing she's ever had to do. That wasn't good jury management.
Betty's not going to be great with her jury management. She's going to say what she wants to say and be like, what? Like, it's how I feel. And just be like, deal with it.
Well, I love it personally.
No, it's great, but it's not great for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, some Big Brother Canada legends are showing up, but, we're just going to see the facial reactions of the house guests as they look through some glass looking at them. So it's I'm on the edge of my seat until Monday to find out who these people are.
I was actually more terrified that someone was going to hurt themselves because everybody was still wearing like, you know, heels and like clothes that are not necessarily for running around. And so I was worried that somebody was going to fall on the stairs. Like it looked dangerous to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like a race competition as much as it does like just a regular quit. Like they were like, race to the doors. You have 4 minutes. Okay. So
it's interesting.
I can walk I want to.
I said it looked like the house guests looked like kids that realized the restaurant had a lobster tank they could run up to. so
like the claw.
Yeah, just all their faces were just like very like distorted all over the place. But it was fun. Is it real?
like what so. Was it?
We're gonna eat that.
I'm interested to see. I'm curious who do you think is in there? In these different rooms.
I imagine, you know, people that live in Toronto, yeah, especially if they got a bunch of them. So,
five. Yeah. So.
I don't remember who lives in Toronto, so I don't have much beyond that.
Quite a few people that live in Toronto or near so. So like Erica lives in Toronto, Austin lives in Toronto, that the mine guy Chris lives in Toronto.
Well, they said legend. So how? Yeah. How? That's the real question. Is how?
Sorry.
I was waiting for one.
How loosely are we defining legends? Do we think?
Been on the show before.
No. I think Ika's making the trip again. If they again, are. We'll see. Why not?
I don't know. It depends on what they're doing in the glass. Because if they're just like if they're props for a competition and they're just like standing like, still or something, like is that worth Ika's time?
It's true.
You know what I mean?
So you're saying
is Ika really a one of is Ika one of five people? Is that what Ika is? Ika's like yeah. If Ika's back, one. It's like this is Ika. Ika's a Big Brother legend is here. You know what I mean?
So you're thinking like a Jed type. Like big enough sure name. Pretty to look at.
I think if you don't use the veto on yourself, that you can be considered a legend. That's a legendary moment.
Why not? I'm not expecting like top tier people. This is not the winner's circle coming back on BB Camp 6. That's not what I'm expecting.
Yeah.
So what I was going to say about Ika, though, is that she already had that whole segment, the proposal segment. I just don't think that she would downgrade segments with like doing like, you know, a fancy one and then like being like, oh, I'm going to go stand like I'm posing like a mannequin. So I don't feel like it'll be Ika again.
We'll see.
We will see. I think that's what we have from the episode. Anything else that you guys wanted to talk about from the episode?
No, I'm good. I'm just interested to see Kyle get out. He leaves saying like, I am an absolute super fan. Like, okay, maybe not. like see the reaction. That'll be fun.
Yeah. I want to know all the seasons that he's actually watched. I do. Like, I'm sure you watched all those about
Big Brother Canada. I think it was most Big Brother Canada seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. But this was in a binge, not really like interacting with the community. It does not seem like so, it's very different watching, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know how that would
the
be.
Live feed involved experience.
I've never some watched of the seasons, any season.
It's not going to be good. BB Camp 6 feeds in the show. Very different.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Well, we do have HOH results to talk about, so we can get into those very soon. Of course, I will have an exit interview with Kyle Moore tomorrow.
What are you gonna ask?
So, tune in for that. I mean, I will do my best. Again, like I'm pretty limited in what I'm allowed to talk about, but I will do like if the question is you know, why did you turn on Moose? Like, why did you think Moose was gonna betray you? I think the delivery will have to be, why did you think Moose was gonna betray you, dude? And that can be how we get it in. We'll see how it goes, but make sure you tune in for that tomorrow. Of course, I'll also be live tomorrow with Puya for the live feed update, and then we'll be back Monday night to recap the Monday night episode where we'll find out who these Big Brother legends are. So tune in for all of that. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about the HOH and theorize on what might happen this week based on those results. Here we go. We got some spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. So we actually had, weirdly, spoilers early this Thursday night, because Arissa actually in the TikTok interview spoiled the HOH winner when talking with Kyle. But since then, the feeds have very recently come up, and we have confirmation from the feeds that we have a new HOH winner. I believe that neither Scally or Chantel know who this person is. So they're finding out for the first time right now that Jess is our new HOH.
Good. Slash, come on. But we get to see him.
Yeah.
Good slash Herman is a good response.
I am excited and nervous. I'm excited. Herman Gino,
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm not like sure that those are locked in. I'm excited for Jess, who has like so badly needed a shakeup and some HOH to build stuff. Like, Jess has done a much better job than, especially when we were getting like the clips at the beginning before the show even starts of their social skills in some conversations, just like has built so much better than where they were at. And so I am very excited now, once they have a little bit of like weight behind these conversations, how can they like really turn this around? I am interested, but nervous at the same time.
I think this is a huge win for Jess. I'd been talking last week about how, they were put up week one, they won the veto, and that really like gave them new life in the game for a little while. Winning competitions is always huge for you in the game. And the fact that they were put up on the block again last week, then didn't win the veto, they stayed up on the block this week. It was starting to look like, okay, now the pawn thing really might start to set in. So winning this HOH, I think, is huge to once again reset their position in the house, position them as somebody that is not to be ignored, somebody to be respected. That can be bad because people are looking at you, but more often than not, in my opinion, it's a good thing because they're not going to be somebody that they just randomly throw on the block anymore, because they're way too likely to win a competition and come right back at them, right? Not only that, but they now have a whole week to really lock in relationships if they want to figure out, find out some information and really try and, lock some stuff in, which is all great. They are apparently taking Moose to Wendy's, and they are currently talking with Moose. I don't know if they've said that Moose is good with them yet, but Moose is like, I feel really good with you. I really want to do something here, which is interesting because Moose is one of the people that I wouldn't have been surprised if he went up on the block, probably not as the target, but maybe as a pawn or something along those lines. It's like a person next to perhaps Herman, or maybe as like an initial nominee for a Herman backdoor. So maybe that's the intent, to take him to Wendy's and say, look, I got to use you as a pawn. But if this isn't a genuine approach to be like, look, I'm going to keep Moose off the block, that definitely leaves some other spots open for who knows, maybe Gino, maybe Herman goes straight up. Maybe who knows? Like, it really could go any which way.
Yeah, I have to imagine Herman's 100% going up, if not an outright target. It's just Herman put up Jess in the first week and like, oh, Jess is going to become a pawn star, but like, not really. Jess was going to go up a lot and they were going to go home, because basically anyone else goes up except for Kyle this week and Jess is going home. There's no real numbers behind Jess. So, they may as well take a shot. Like, you should firm up things by becoming an active player rather than letting this week pass you by and have nothing really coalesce around you. So, I am also surprised by the Moose seeming safe. I really thought that he was in danger here.
Okay, I think I was misunderstanding what I was reading. That okay. I think maybe they are interviewing to do Wendy's dates right now, and Moose was up first.
All right.
Which tells me two things. Moose is probably not nearly as safe as that had previously implied. And Jess might not handle this HOH as well as they might be able to.
I think what's going to be good about it is the fact that, like, Kevin, who we saw this recent episode, wasn't necessarily wanting to strategize and talk with them. And same with Josh, willing to let them leave if it wasn't Kyle up on the block. And so hopefully both those two guys are going to want to have more conversations with them, really solidify something stable and solid, and hopefully have some influence in their ear on how to run this HOH. And so maybe they'll stay on track.
Yeah. Well, so the bottom. Yeah, it is an interesting. So the bottom line here is that the person that Jess is likely going to be targeting this week is Hermann, for a multitude of reasons. First and foremost, Hermann put Jess on the block week one, and they have never fully been able to recover from that. That relationship has always been fractured. It's never really worked well. In addition to that, Jess has seen Hermann as somebody that's playing both sides, somebody that's not trustworthy. Jess is somebody that has mentioned Hermann and Tanisha and Moose are kind of a trio, and they don't trust the three of them, essentially. We could easily see, because I also think Jess is a strategic thinker. I have to imagine that Jess has in mind that somebody's won the veto every single week, and I can't imagine that if they really want the shot to land on Hermann, that they would put Hermann straight up. So it would not surprise me at all if we saw Moose and Tanisha as initial nominations or something along those lines. But Hermann should be the intended target. But we also have seen Hermann work some magic in the past. We can see if he's able to work his way out of this one. Or if Jess just decides to change their mind, there's certainly a lot that Jess could learn that could change how they see the house. The idea that Hermann, Tanisha, and Moose are a trio was never really true in the first place. It's actually becoming more true as time goes on. But there's still a lot of reason to sort of doubt that initial theory and to maybe look elsewhere. Also, Jess isn't super, firmly planted anywhere in the house. So with the right offer, they could decide, okay, maybe I want to sit over here then if this is a better place to go, a better path for me. And that would mean a different target. So there are definitely things that could change, but the primary person to watch out for this week would be Hermann.
Mm-hmm. And even with him being so likely to go up, he doesn't go against like everyone in the house. He's not like an easy target to take a shot at. So I am very curious to see how Jeff really maneuvers this.
Hermann versus Moose, I think, would probably result in Moose leaving without any sort of anything else happening. A lot of people now, let's see. Okay. Gina would probably keep Hermann. Jace would. Honestly, but Tanisha and Summer, I think they would be inclined to, but I honestly think they could go either way. It depends on where other people go. But the thing is that I do think that Kevin and Helena would be pushing in the other direction. Marty would be going in the other direction. I think even Josh would go in the other direction. And so if they were able to pull Summer and Tanisha, that would be all they needed. So it would be interesting, actually. I think it could go both ways. Hermann versus Tanisha, I think, would be a tougher sell, but it would also be different numbers, because then you wouldn't have people like Gino necessarily against you. So it could be interesting either way. And there's a lot for Jess to consider here. But I don't think you can go too wrong by just putting these people up. The primary thing, of course, as always, is that they need to lock in their relationships. They really need to figure out who they want to be working with moving forward. And based on that, figure out who they want to target. I think they should not have blinders on for Hermann. I do think that Hermann is a good target for them ultimately, because Hermann has been trying to rebuild, and Hermann is the kind of player that sets up big, massive structures, and he keeps all the outsiders out with the big moat and walls. And that's always going to be bad for a player like Jess. But on the more micro level, Jess might need to do something else in order to get in with people in the first place and have any kind of place in the house. So there's definitely a lot of intrigue that can come from this, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Very much the same.
definitely it's going to be a new vibe than it has been for the last 4 weeks. So I'm definitely looking for this shakeup. It'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, as I said, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to talk with Puya about what I guess we'll find out who wins the Wendy's interview. what the plans might be, who Jess might trust with the plans, and all kinds of interesting stuff tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern for the live feed update. And then again, interview with Kyle later in the day. And then we'll keep it moving. You can always find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching the episodes live with all of you. And I will also be live this weekend on Saturday, probably around that time, to talk through the Oscars with Melissa. I think Lita will join me. We'll talk about the Oscar movies. Mm-hmm. I've watched all the best pictures. Melissa's watched all the best pictures. Lita, I don't think, has watched any of them, but she has lots of predictions. So it should be a fun dynamic. Come check that out. You can, of course, always find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. And check out the Taryn Show. I did one with Peridium this week. Peridium from YouTube, those YouTube streets, making Survivor and Big Brother content over on YouTube. I had a great conversation with him. So check all of that out as well. I'll also be recording about this week's Survivor with Shannon. Big Survivor crossover episode. Shannon, who does the Survivor Global podcast. She's got a whole thing she does. I've got a whole stock watch that I do. We're going to combine them together and make one Ultron mega podcast. Should be a lot of fun. So check that out. We're going to be recording that tomorrow, which is Friday. So lots of fun stuff coming your way. Chantel, what do you got coming up?
You can find me on Instagram at ShanFranFran. All my socials are there. Or if you want to find me on YouTube, my channel is Reality Realness with 3 S's.
There you go. Scally, what are you up to?
Anything I'm doing, I'll talk about over on Twitter at Brian_Scally. Popping up on BB Can throughout, but otherwise, I believe it's coming out this week. Guested on the Lonely Boys podcast, talking about Gossip Girl, not the new HBO one, the old school. So any fans of that should go check them out. And the challenge is always all the talk, especially maybe some CBS channel. Who knows what's going on? So always talking about that when I get a chance with Matt Liguori over on the Dom and Colin podcast. So check that out as well.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here tonight. I hope you enjoyed tonight's recap, even if you didn't love the episode, or maybe you did. Either way, I hope you enjoyed the recap. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see all of you next time.